Hello, everyone. This is Stelly FD.
And Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about the power of words.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
That's right. I think this is something both Stelly and I are thinking about a lot and probably subconsciously are if that even exists, let me give that context. Actually, it's very interesting. I was talking to one of my cousins, and he's a physician, and he said, I've looked at brains, like, you know, the brain scans and all that.
Yeah.
There's no subconscious. I can't prove it. We were having a philosophical conversation.
Okay.
But anyways, I think we both really care about words and how we communicate.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to do an episode on the power of words. Right?
Yes, and you know, I think that words matter a lot in life in general. Language matters. And it matters also very much in the context of entrepreneurship, you know, building a business, finding ways to communicate what you're trying to accomplish, what you're accomplishing with yourself, your partners, your team, and the world at large. But you also said that right now words are an interesting topic because you're building a product around words.
Yeah.
So you started like calling people out when they use, you know.
Unclear words is usually my reasoning. It's like if I don't understand what that means and you're assuming I know what it means, but I don't understand, I'll call you out on it.
Yes.
Right? So it's like when people say, that was a really clean design. Because I've said that before and I say it, I'm like, okay, so can you explain why do you think it was a clean design?
Yeah.
And then they start saying, oh, there's white space and the colors are light, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So then I know what clean design means to you. So it's almost like a way, it's basically like you can ask, what do you mean? Right.
Yes.
And then clarify and then reword.
Yeah.
So then I end up doing that. I'm like, oh, do you mean blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good one. Because I think for most of us, we don't really understand. We've never learned how language even works, how the brain computes language and how we turn language into meaning.
Yeah,
and if you study language, you realize that, and you know, I've studied hypnosis for a long time.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting things about hypnosis, when you learn the mechanics of how it works and what does make it work or not, and we're not talking about the type of like stage hypnosis that's like making people pretend they're chickens or something. It's interesting how that works. We can talk about that. But when we talk about just more like clinical hypnosis, the interesting part is that a lot of language is, you know, if you take a typical sentence like, he bought a house, that seems to be a sentence that has, you know, that makes sense. Well, he bought a house. All right, I get that. But if you look at the language structure of that, that sentence is missing a shit ton of data. And what the brain does at all times is
it fills
a lot of data in to make meaning. And it's a very kind of productive habit of the brain, because otherwise we would constantly slow down our communication. We would go back and forth until you filled out all the data. So when I say he bought a house, there's many, many things the brain. Who is he? From whom? Another person? The owner? Somebody else?
What did he use to buy it?
What money? What currency? Right? And there's many, many more even that are not as obvious. The brain just adds it. If I tell this to somebody in the US, it's obviously bought by dollars versus somebody in Europe might be euros. You know, there's all kinds of different images that will be created, which brings up another point, which is that language is much more visual than we understand.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people think that the brain computes language
In words. No.
But it does it in images.
That's right.
And
your brain doesn't really have words if you think
Yes.
Right? Like you're not speaking in words in your head.
Yes.
It's typing words out. It's not like letter by letter.
No. Right? So you create images. And this is another really fascinating thing, because we are not self-aware about this.
Yeah.
So when you talk to people and you say, can you visualize this thing? A lot of people will go, I'm so bad at visualizing. I can't visualize anything. And then you ask them a question and they go, huh? And they look up and they focus their eyes. And you're like, what the fuck are you looking at? Like, it's an image you're creating. You're trying to, you're like, I don't have clarity on this. Like, what exactly do you mean here?
Right?
What are you looking at? We constantly create images, but those images are not as crystal clear as reality.
I'm going to dig into one that I think is important, right? And imagery came to mind, and you're going to love this one, I think. It's the whole we versus I versus me versus you.
Yeah.
Not versus, but you know?
Yeah.
And so pet peeve of mine is when I hear a founder, a leader, or even an individual, individual team members, not as critical, but would be nice, but when they say I, right? And instead of saying we. And when founders say that, like, I have this instinctual, like, I really, really need to correct them, like, right now. I got to stop you. Just don't, what? Yeah. Like, it's a collective thing. And if you think about visualizing that, when you, I'm sure there's different visuals when you say, I did this versus we did this in people's heads.
Yes.
Right? And think about it, right? Let's say you're on stage, right, at a conference, and you're, you know, 20-person startup. It's going pretty well, right? Like, and you're sitting there, and in the audience, there could be one or maybe 10 people that could work for you or with you or whatever way you want to call it, right, depending on whether you're using I or we.
Right.
I, it's for you. We, it's with you.
Yeah.
So instantly, you're going to segment yourself to people that gravitate towards working for you versus working with you if you use I versus we. So I think people, founders, that one, they don't understand how they impact how people feel about them, think about them and their companies when they use I versus we.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful example. And the person that popped up in my mind immediately, the visual that was created immediately, was one of a person, a founder that most people would think was one of the biggest egomaniacs, Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
But if you think about Steve Jobs' performance on stage, there was no I thought this, it's always we, even to the extent where at the end he would make people stand up who worked on a certain product project to get applause, right? And this might have been a different persona than how he was in the company, but he understood deeply how to, you know, make this not about himself, make this about something greater of himself when he presented these ideas or products to the world.
Yeah.
So that's a beautiful example. Another example that I bring up there, and this is just even more to like, we're not going to be able to unravel all the knowledge around words and their power and the meaning. And we don't, right? But I do think it's important to start to become a student of words.
Yeah.
And it's important to be aware of the power of words and the way that you communicate with others. So one other example on this I, we, you situation is that people communicate usually in one of two formats. Either an associated way or a disassociated way.
Yes.
And associated means that I communicate from a version where I, if I had to visualize what I just said, I would see it through my own eyes, living it. Versus if I communicated in a disassociated fashion, I would visualize it in even seeing myself in the image doing something. A lot of times when people talk about negative things, because they don't want to have the negative emotion when they talk about it, they use you in their communication. You know, Heaton, when you have a really bad day and just everything you do is shit? No.
That's instantly when I say, oh, are you having a bad day?
Yes. People typically don't talk disassociated when it's something positive.
That's right.
But they do tend to talk disassociated when it's something really negative because they don't want to relive it or feel it in the moment.
They're trying to make you have empathy for them.
Yes. No, not even that. But I think
you say you know when you've had a
I think that the underlying mechanic of why people do it is not that they think I want to have empathy. I think that's a added benefit. I think the reason why people we all tend to communicate that way when we talk about negative experiences is that we don't want to relive them or feel them as strongly. Because if you talk in an associated way, you're going to feel much stronger because you're associated with it. What you're talking about. The problem with that is a bad thing for the person listening to you.
That's right.
You know, many times there are people in our lives that when we talk to them, afterwards we feel drained.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, oh my God, I feel horrible now.
Yeah.
And if you pay attention, many times these people talk in a very disassociated way. They'll say this. They put the things on you. In our subconscious mind, if you physically can see them on a scan or not, there's still something there.
Maybe.
I would argue.
Maybe.
At least it can be utilized.
It's philosophical.
Yes. I do think that it's hard for the human mind, soul, body to when you keep talking to somebody in the you know how you will feel when you are horrible and you are this and you are that, that's going to have an impact in the listener because it's tough for whatever reason for that person to understand and in real time unravel that you're not meaning them. So this is a thing where that I'm very self-conscious with, but then when I see other people, when people talk to me and they go, you know, when everything goes wrong, you want to, I'm like, no. Are we talking about me? How about you? Because if we're talking about you, you need to own up. You need to own up to that shit and go, I feel horrible and I made a bad decision. Yeah. What should I do? And not, you know how you feel when you make bad decisions. Like, let's not talk about
great when I make bad decisions. At least it's done.
This is not about me, motherfucker. So let's stop that. Oh, and even if I'm not involved, if I see somebody...
they're projecting.
They're projecting. If I see a human talk to another human and communicating with them, what I think is mindlessly, not that they don't want to do that, in a way that I think could harm the other person, I'll interject and I'll make people correct
that. My favorite stuff is anytime I'm in a meeting and someone's speaking to me, I do this thing that causes them to get defensive. So they'll say something. I'm like, oh, you should say it like this. And then they go instantly, oh, no, but I'm talking to you. I'm like, I know, but you should say it like this. And the reason I say that to them is because I found that there's and I know there's science behind this, but if you say it to anybody a certain way, but you say you're instantly going to say it in your head that way, regardless of how you really feel about it. Mm-hmm. So if you say, let's just take the I and the we, right? If you say, oh, as I was thinking about how to build this product, right? Mm-hmm. I'll stop you. Like, wait, were you just thinking about it alone? Right? Because that I starts going in their heads.
Yes.
Like, I was thinking about it. So, you know, they should be associating we were thinking about it, right? Not I. And so what I'm trying to say is, like, I think the words and the way that they impact yourself is really important. So you should essentially, I think in any scenario, watch how you say something and how you speak it. Not so that you hold back, but so that you don't start believing your own bullshit.
This would be interesting. If it does exist and somebody knows about it, please let me know. Let us know. It'd be fascinating to take certain humans in history and break down their vocabulary.
Yeah.
Like, what were the words they used most in life? Or just in general, that they used a lot.
Yeah.
That would be, I can't imagine that if you looked at the words they used a lot, and you looked at the person, if that wouldn't be kind of a very easy one-on-one connection. Aha, this kind of makes sense. And you could take like people in arts versus people in politics versus people in science. And the words they use is an expression of their imaginations, an expression of their thoughts, which is an expression of who they are, right? And what they've accomplished. So with that being said, I do believe that if you pay attention to the words you use, the vocabulary even that you used, it is an indication of the way you think.
Yeah.
So it's a cool reverse engineering hack to say, if you wanted to start thinking differently, a way to do that, I think, or an approach to approach this even, is to start changing your vocabulary and using different words that create different images for yourself and others. So you want to be more creative. How about more creative vocabulary?
Oh, I like that. So I have another hack, trick, whatever, where after I read something, especially if it's something long and in one of the like publications that are sort of known for great writing or good writing or the author I really like, I'll read it and then I'll think right at the end of it, because like I'm just in the moment, how did that make me feel? Like, not even the good, bad, but just like, did I change my mind about something? Did I feel positive as I was reading it? Were they speaking to me? And I'm just thinking about words a lot and content, right? And then what I realized is basically, and I know this is really obvious, but if you can pinpoint basically the words in an article and how they made you feel, then you can basically influence your own vocabulary, right? So like you look in the article and you're like, oh, they used that word. And they could have used another word, but they specifically chose that word. So just starting to recognize the words other people use that are influencing you the most is a really easy thing to do. It's just hard to even conceptualize that, like, those words are influencing you. So once you make that happen, then I start listening and I'm like, oh, wait. Like, if you say it that way, here's what people think, but I think you meant blah. And I'll do that even in the middle of conversations now, because I want to get clarity on what they're thinking, but I don't think they realize how people perceive what they're saying even.
Yeah,
it's like kind of like when you think about, I know you brought up the Steve Jobs in the keynotes, but like there's a whole bunch of this when you look into like the speech coaching and stuff like that.
I love any exercise that involves taking things that you do and adding a little bit of like self-reflection to it. So I love you read an article and at the end you go, how did that make me feel? And were there any specific words or ways that ideas were expressed that had a particular impact? What I noticed that I do, not thinking about it too much, but one thing I've noticed that I do a lot is that I'll gravitate towards people that have more breadth and depth in expressing themselves. So when I hear somebody that just uses more lively language or uses words, not just for the sake of using them, but uses words
strategically,
artfully. And it seems natural to them and it makes them more expressive. I instantly am gravitated towards listening to them more, reading more about their stuff. I find that it's attractive. It's an attractive trait. So I subscribe to tons of podcasts, for instance. But the ones I'm listening to are usually the ones from people that express themselves in beautiful ways or completely different ways than I typically do. Just to expand my
horizon.
And I'm fascinated by people that don't just have a huge vocabulary and they throw it around in order to showboat, but they use words that are just a lot more visual, a lot more colorful, and words that you don't hear people use often and even use well. That's a super attractive thing to me. But maybe because I'm like trying to expand my own vocabulary, my own ability to express myself and express my ideas. So that's just something that I'm aware of, which means that even if somebody has great ideas, even if somebody has accomplished things I admire, if the way they express themselves is overly negative or is very narrow, I'll find myself like losing interest in it and not consuming any more content of it. So it's just kind of my natural selection to try to surround myself with people, because I do believe that it rubs off on you. It just does. You start expressing yourself more fully if you're exposed to that type of language.
Whatever you listen to, whatever you hear.
Right.
That's, I think, another big one, which is like what you can get better at vocabulary just by reading more.
Yeah.
Right. You can get better at words just by listening more too. Yeah. Right. And that's essentially what you're doing.
Yeah. And with the reading, I'm an obsessive reader, but for most of my life I've been reading to learn and not to be entertained.
Yeah.
And I just now get more and more into the habit of reading nonfiction, or reading fiction, I mean, rather, and reading it from people that are just artists in language, just to get
people that are very creative.
Yeah.
Right. They-